Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Exodus 20. If you've been with us, you know we're in the middle of a series titled OSX Commandments. Apple just released their latest OSX, El Capitan, all right? And but God released His OSX a long time ago, His operating system of the Ten Commandments, the operating system for the Christian life. It's a series that's been walking us through each of the Ten Commandments. And 8 weeks ago, we started with the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And we talked about the fact that God wants to be first in our life. He wants to be number one. And it's because He created us. He loves us. And He knows that there isn't anyone or anything that will care for us the way He cares for us. And so He wants us to put Him first. Then the next week we talked about the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any idols or images. And we talked about how we create our own images in our minds or idols of what we want God to be, of who we think God is. And by doing that, we literally put Him into a box. We literally create this image of a God that is far bigger, far vast, far greater than the image that we have placed. And that becomes the image that we worship instead of who God truly is. And then the third commandment, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." And we talked about the importance of not only how we speak the name of the Lord, but how we carry His name. As Christians, we carry the name of Christ. We carry His name. And when we don't represent His name well, or where we misrepresent His name, we're literally taking His name in vain. Then the next week we unpack the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And we talked about our need for rest, and not just any kind of rest, but where we're resting in the Lord, where we're seeking Him, where we spend time with Him regularly to refresh and recharge. It's kind of like that water I was talking about this morning, filling us up with the things of Him. Then we talked about the fifth commandment, about honoring our parents. And this was a tough one. I talked about how, you know, this is easier for some of us than others. But it's a command that God's given to all of us, regardless of what kind of parents we had. And we talked about one of the best ways that we can honor them is one, by learning to love them even when they're difficult to love. We talked about forgiving them even when they've hurt us. And the reason for that is so that our lives and our relationships aren't affected by the failures that they did in our lives. And then the sixth commandment was that you shall not murder. And we realized that Jesus sees murder a lot different than most of us. It goes beyond just the physical act of murdering someone. It talks about in the Scripture that if we have anger or hatred in our heart, then we're guilty of this command, that we have to seek God's love and grace and forgiveness and overcome the hatred and anger in our own hearts. And then last week, we looked at the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." And again, we realize it isn't just talking about the physical act of adultery, but also the sins of the mind. Jesus said that if we even have lustful thoughts about another, we have committed adultery in our heart. And if you haven't noticed by now, these are some pretty challenging commands, aren't they? When you get to the core of what they are. But we have to realize God gives us these commands because He loves us. He gives us these commands to protect us because He knows the hurts and pains that we will experience if we go down these roads, if we fail to live out these commands. Now today we're going to look at the eighth commandment. It's found in verse 15 of Exodus 20. I'm going to read that to you this morning. It's very quick and simple. It's four words. It says this: "You shall not steal." Now, oftentimes when we think of stealing, many of us, you know, we think of people like, at least I do, I think like Bonnie and Clyde, right? You know, we think of these bank robbers and these jewelry thieves. Or perhaps sometimes we think of, you know, the troubled teens that we've seen busted for shoplifting, right? But the reality is, like any of the other commandments that we've looked at, stealing can go from one extreme over here all the way to another extreme on this side. A wife said to her husband one evening, "The housekeeper has stolen two of our brand new towels." He responded by saying, "Well, some people are just like that, honey. Which ones did she take?" The wife replied, "Those nice ones we brought home from that hotel last weekend." Right? From one extreme to the other. You see, this eighth commandment is really about taking something that doesn't belong to us. And whether that's someone else's money, or whether that's our employer's time, ouch. You know, that's one. And see, for me, that's a hard one for me, because if I steal time from the church, right, here's my problem. I have stuff that has to get done. So I'm going to get it back, but I end up stealing then time from my family because I'm not home, because I had to spend extra time because I was messing around doing this or that. And how many times do we do that in that way? But whether you're stealing money or stealing time or whatever it is, it's all the same in the eyes of the Lord. And it's important enough to Him that He made it one of the big ten, right? He made it one of the Ten Commandments. Now, I love how Ron Mell, one of my favorite pastors, puts it in his book, The Tender Commandments. This is what he says. He's referencing the Eighth Commandment here, he says, what God is saying to us when it comes to this command is this. And so he's speaking like it's the Lord. He says, "I don't want you stealing, because I am your provider. I want you to understand and believe that I am the one who will supply all your needs. I don't want you to have to scheme, manipulate, or deceive to obtain things. For then what will you become? A schemer? A manipulator? A deceiver? I don't want you to feel responsible for securing your own future." I imagine that's the words that God would be speaking to us about this commandment. And the thing is, every time we steal something, whether it's big or whether it's small, it's us trying to be our own provider. And Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all my needs." You see, when we're stealing, we're basically saying, God, I don't trust your scriptures. I don't trust that you will meet my needs. Or we're also maybe saying, or you're just not meeting my needs quick enough. I need it now. I can't wait, right? And I realized as I began to walk through this, the things that the Lord began to speak to me is stealing really has to do with two main things: the lack of patience and the lack of contentment. You know, why wait and pay for something tomorrow when I can simply just take it today? That's what the enemy loves to whisper into our ears, right? He loves to deceive us into believing that just taking it now, that's the easy way. Taking it now will bring you immediate happiness, right? You don't have to wait for it. Oh, just take it now. It'll bring you immediate happiness. It will fill a void in your life in that moment and perhaps ease any of your discontentment. But you see, God knows that those are just lies from the enemy. And so He gives us this command to help shield us from the consequences stealing will ultimately bring to our life. Because it will bring consequences, regardless of whether it's small things to bigger things. Now, yes, the bigger things will bring greater consequences. But either way, we will experience consequences in our life. And if you aren't convinced of the dangers and the consequences of stealing, just go ask a man by the name of Achan in the Scriptures, all right? If you aren't familiar with Achan, we learned about Achan a little while back when we walked through our series where we went through the book of Joshua. We learned about him there, and when Joshua and the Israelites were heading in to conquer Jericho, okay, they were heading in to begin to conquer the promised land, and God gave them some clear instructions. Being the first city that they were going into, he said, "I have some instructions for you," and I want to read those to you. I have them to put up on the screen too. It's out of Joshua 6, verses 17 and 18. This is what he said to the Israelites, and he said it to everybody, okay? He said, "The city and all that is in it," everything in the city, okay? All, when you break it down into the Hebrew and the Greek or whatever, it means all, okay? It means everything, all right? He said, "The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." All right? This is part of the first fruits. This is their first city, and he's saying, "I want you first to give me everything that you get out of Jericho," all right? And he goes on to say, "Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent." And then verse 18, "But keep away from the devoted things." Those are all the goods, the riches. He says, "You guys stay away. You're supposed to give those to the house of the Lord, okay? You're not to take those, the spoils, for yourself." And he says, "Keep away from them so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them." So he's warning them, don't do this. You will bring destruction. "Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it." But guess what? Achan didn't listen. He didn't listen to what God had said. Instead of devoting all the plunder to the Lord, Achan decided to keep some of the plunder for himself. And in Joshua 7, I'm not going to read it, but Achan admits that he kept this robe, this nice robe garment, right? "Oh, that looks so cool. I'll look good in that." And he took it and wrapped it up, right? And it also says he took some gold and some silver and he hid it underneath it. He dug a hole, hid it underneath his bed in his camp, right? Instead of waiting for God to supply his needs, he took things into his own hands. And because he took what didn't belong to him, Israel experienced a painful defeat. And they didn't know why. They're like, "What's going on, God? We thought you were on our side." But it was because of one man who stole what didn't belong to him. And Achan and his whole family, here's the price he paid. Not just him, but his entire family was put to death. Aren't you glad Jesus came and we don't have the same price to pay for the penalty of stealing and those things? Amen? We can walk in God's grace. Our whole family doesn't have to be put to death. But his whole family was killed because of his failures. And here's the thing. If Achan would have just been patient, if he would have just waited, in the next battle, God told the Israelites they could take all the plunder they wanted. They could take everything. If he had just trusted God to be his provider, if he wouldn't have taken the things in his own hand, both him and his family would have still been alive, and he probably could have had like more than one robe, and he probably could have had a lot more silver and a lot more gold. You see, this story is a perfect example of how our impatience causes us to try to take shortcuts and to provide for ourselves. And when we do that, we miss out on the amazing provisions and blessings that God already has planned for us. We have to remember God is our provider. And we have to be patient and wait for His timing. We have to trust in Him. We have to be content with what we have. And that's a hard thing in the world. I just got into a conversation recently. I can't remember. I think it was maybe last week. The grass is greener on the other side. You know, that mentality. We live in a world where that's the mentality. The grass is greener on the other side. No, no, no. You'll realize if you just stop and wait, the grass is green right there next to you. That's just an illusion, right? It's like a mirage a lot of times. It looks good. Water, yeah. And you get there and there's nothing. We always think that the grass is greener on the other side. We have to be content with what we have and trust that when we're ready, when God's timing is right, He will give it to us. He will bless us. The only way that I think we can truly keep this commandment is if we make a conscious decision to be content. To be content with what we have. Listen to what Paul says about contentment in Philippians 4:12. He himself had to make this same decision. He had to learn this himself. He said, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or whether hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Are we content? Because listen to this, the reality is the world is going to always charge you more and give you less. It's always going to do that, right? You know, how many times you go to the store and you pick up that bag of cookies and go, what? There's less cookies in here than used to be. But the price has gotten more expensive, right? There's always going to be fewer cookies in the package, fewer chips in the bag, you know, less meat on your hamburger, you know? It's like, where's the beef? You know, in the 80s, remember that, all right? You know, it's like less, what happened, man? Either that or the buns get smaller to try to make you think the meat got bigger, right? And here's the thing, things are going to get smaller, but they're going to keep charging us more, right? And the problem is we panic, oh, come on, I can't afford that, I can't get, how am I going to survive? But God's saying, don't worry about those things. Don't fall into the traps of this world. As children of God, we don't need to try to steal to get ahead. We don't need to try to scheme and manipulate to make things work to our advantage. Why? Because God is our provider. He will take care of our needs. Now, we have to understand, he says needs there, okay? It's not like, I'll give you the biggest screen TVs, I'll give you the bins, I'll give you this, I'll get you, I mean, it's not all those things. Now, I believe when we're faithful, God does bless us. But first and foremost, we have to learn just to be content with the needs that God wants to meet in our lives. He is our provider. He will take care of our needs if we trust in Him. Listen to what He tells us in Matthew 6. We've all heard this scripture before. Verses 25 through 33. It says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, the reason I think people steal is because we forget that God is our provider. We forget that God is in control. You see, we can cheat on our taxes. We can cut corners here and there. We can steal whatever it is we think we need to satisfy us in this life. But bottom line, God is our provider. And we need to trust in the Lord. Today's message, it's an interesting message because I think there are probably all sorts of ways that we steal, and we don't even, some of us don't even realize it. And I think one of my encouragements, as I was processing this, I just felt like, man, we need to spend some time before the Lord, each of us, and ask ourselves some questions. Ask the Lord some questions. Lord, in what ways am I stealing, right? In what ways am I taking things that aren't ours to take? That's not mine to take, right? I mean, I shared even earlier today, I shared last week about downstairs, the work that I was doing, and the Lord said, you're not to do that work. But one of the words He used to me, He said, you're robbing the blessing of other people. I'm breaking this commandment. I'm robbing people. I'm stealing the blessing from others because I want to do it my way. There are so many ways that we can steal and we don't even realize it. Even that word, it's funny, as I was reading something, it talked about different words for stealing, you know. We use different words, you know, and I can't even remember all these different words, you know, for stealing. But one that popped in my head was acquire. Because we use that in the military. We don't steal, we acquire things, right? The Marine Corps, we were really good at acquiring things that weren't ours, right, for stuff. And what's interesting, let me just confess to you. I told Larry on today when we went to go pick up the baptismal, I said, I got to confess, the Lord challenged me on something, and we're going to do it when we take the baptismal back. When we got the church, when we started the church, we borrowed a chair dolly from West Salem. And they let us use it, and I didn't think anything about it. And it was like 2 years ago, I'm like, I should probably give that back to them. But then my thought was, you know what, they haven't needed it, and it's no big deal, and I didn't think, I'm like, they're fine, they've got other chair dollies, and I thought it's no big deal, and they're our sister, or our mother church, whatever you want to call them, and that's great, and I just didn't think anything. Well, the Lord said, oh, you mean, when the word acquire goes, oh, you mean like you've acquired that chair dolly? Ooh. Ouch. Why are we going through the Ten Commandments? There are many ways that we may not even realize that we're stealing. And I think it's important that we really seek the Lord on this. Lord, are there things that I'm not trusting you to be my provider? Are there things I'm reaching out and grabbing and taking that aren't really mine? Here's another one. How many of us have asked the Lord about giving? It was interesting. I didn't want to share this because I hate talking about this in church because I've seen the abuse of it. But the Lord brought me to this story. I'll never forget a story Ron Mell once told at a youth leaders conference. He talked about how he was about ready to get up and preach. He was preaching at this church and he had been invited to this church and he didn't really know, you know, just but he was this well-known preacher that spoke and he was invited to come preach at this church. And pastor mentioned they had a guest speaker was going to be coming up in a minute, and the pastor started going into this, the offering, right? And Ron Mell, if you know, it's funny because the way he talks, you know, he's kind of a little bit snarky at times in situations as he's sharing the stories. And he says, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, and he starts to go into this thing about giving, and he goes, the guy would just not shut up. He just kept going on about giving and giving and giving. He's like, I'm starting to get tired. I'm like, I wouldn't give anything to you. You're driving me crazy, you know? And he said, but as he's sitting there getting frustrated, he looks and he sees in front of them this couple. He said, young couple, probably early 20s maybe. She's pregnant. And he said he sees them kind of whispering to each other, and he sees her reach into her purse and sees her pull out a couple envelopes. And he's like trying to peek what's going on, you know. He's like, I'm not paying attention to the guy up there because he's just going on and on. And so he's paying attention to other things. And he said, I was kind of trying to peek. And he said, I saw these two envelopes, and one said gas and one said food. And he said, I see them like talking, and I'm thinking, oh, are you serious? He's tricked them into giving, you know, blah, 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 you know, this whole thing. And he said, I could see them kind of talking, and I could see him reach in and take some money. He goes, I was trying to see how much money, but I couldn't see what they took out. And the Lord, he said, just spoke to me and said, you're not like them. It's like, well, what are you talking about? I'm not like them. I give. And he goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, you give. You round off 10% to the nearest penny. You're a great tither. You tithe. He goes, but when was the last time, like them, you asked me how much you should give? And when he said that, man, at this youth pastor conference, it just penetrated my heart. Because I learned, I was taught to tithe and give as a young kid. And me and my wife, you know, 10%, you know, we gave. That's all we can afford, you know. And the Lord said to me, Darren, when was the last time you asked me how much you should give? And it was a challenging thing, how this impacted our life. And until that point, we never really asked God how much we should give. We just gave what we thought, our 10%. And now when God says give, my wife and I, we pray and we're faithful to give. And sometimes it's above and beyond what we think we can afford. And I don't say that about us or whatever. I'm not trying to that. It penetrated my heart, because how many years were we stealing from God? It's His to begin with. We say that, right? It's His. And we struggle. I mean, we talk about the 10%, but you know what? I believe the new covenant isn't 10%. It's 100%. God says it's all His, right? And we have to ask Him. And I don't believe everyone has to tithe 10%. I think we have to ask. Some people, Lord says, you know what? You give 3% and I'll be happy. And other people, He's saying, you know what? You need to be given 25, 30%. You know, it's the woman, she gave out of her poverty. Other people give out of their wealth. And how often are we stealing from God because we're not asking Him, Lord, what do You want me to do with what You've given me? And it penetrated and it challenged us to the core. And so from that day forward, we're constantly trying to seek the Lord. And He challenges us. When we went through our series here, I don't know how many of you went through the Transform series with us, our world got rocked again on being challenged on what you give. And me and my wife, it was like, wow. Because he shared how he started giving 1% every, and you know, Rick Warren, I mean, he tithes 90% of what he gets and only lives off 10%. Now, obviously, when you write books and make lots of money, it's a little bit easier, right? But it's, I believe he's at that point because he started 35 years ago just faithfully giving and increasing and seeking the Lord and asking the Lord what to give. And so, I'm sorry, this is not a message about giving, but I was challenged in this myself and have learned that's another way. When we aren't being obedient to the Lord, whether it's with our giving, whether it's with our resources, with our time, then we're stealing from Him. And there are so many ways that we steal from the Lord and we don't realize it. And so we need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, me individually, don't worry about the person next to you. That's the thing. We can't worry about other people. Lord, what is it that I'm doing wrong? What is it that I'm messing up, all right? We're not called to judge others. We're called to look at our own lives and say, what can I be doing differently? I don't want to be holding on to something that's the Lord's or that someone else's and seek or reap the consequences of my actions. That's what this is about. It's learning to allow God to be our provider, trusting Him in every area of our life. And I'm up here, guys. Don't think I've got it all together. When I'm sharing this, look, I'm a thief. I've got to go give that char dolly back to West Salem, okay? All right? And I've got to go talk to Dan and say, Dan, I've had this char dolly, and the Lord told me I'm a thief and I need to give it back to you. I don't even know what I'm going to say to him, man. How embarrassing is that? We all have things, and God's just saying, let me just begin to show you the areas in your life where you just need to give to me. Why? So that you can become who I've called you to be. Because these commandments are all about His love for us. They're all about His protection and hand upon our life. And that's why He's given them to us. And as we learn to walk them out, we're going to experience more and more of His blessing and goodness in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for just this opportunity to worship You. And Lord, we just give You, we give You this day. We give You all that we are. We give You this word, Lord. It's a challenging word. I struggled through it as You began to show areas and things in my own life where I'm falling short. Lord, hear me, perfect little Darren, as I like to think I am at times. I realize, Lord, we're all sinners. We all fall short, and we are so thankful for Your grace and mercy that You pour out upon our lives, Lord. Because sin is sin, Lord. It doesn't matter from this extreme to this extreme. Lord, we've all fallen short, and we all need Your grace and mercy in our lives, Lord. May we all seek that. May we all just come, Lord, before You and say, Lord, I failed. Be my strength, Lord. Help me make these things right, Lord. Help me to be someone who doesn't try to provide for myself, but who trusts in You and Your will upon my life, Lord. And so we thank You and we praise You for these things. We give You this word and we lift it up to You in Jesus' name. Amen.